because we had a pretty solid cloud cover. In fact, pretty dark and gloomy clouds shortly after sunrise, but by around 8 o'clock or so, the sun had begun to poke through, and we've had a lot of sunshine since then. It's not very warm. Our current temperature in Butler is 36. Looking for a high today near 40. We just got spoiled by all those warm days in February. We had about 3 straight weeks in February where it was just gorgeous. I mean, it was spring-like. The daffodils were starting to poke up through the ground. Yeah, we got spoiled. We're back to more normal weather for this time of year, first half of March. Now, once we get into the second half of March, we expect things to start warming up. And the weather folks say we will see a moderating trend by the weekend. But for most of this week, keep the heavy coats out and the mittens. Might even be a little bit of snow tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. A little bit, not much. You know, we have dodged all these big storms that have hit the Atlantic coast. There's another one that's poised to hit New England within the next couple of days, and it'll be the third major snowstorm in less than 2 weeks. I guess Boston is looking to be the epicenter of this latest one, which is going south of us and then up the coast. The previous two were more typical nor'easters that ripped up the Atlantic coast, and we really have not had much effect from those at all. Well, we've had a little snow here and there last couple of weeks, but we've certainly dodged the real big stuff, and hopefully we won't have any more big stuff. We're getting to that time of the year where it's getting pretty rare. Now, we did have a huge snowfall back in 1993, long about this time of year, second week of March, but that was very unusual. Well, we'll see. We'll keep our fingers crossed, huh? We hope it's done. Most folks, at least, I think, would like to see spring arrive, especially now that daylight saving time is here. And once again, I see these reports on the wire, see them on TV about the effects, the bad effects of daylight saving time. I don't know. I just don't see it. Maybe I'm just out on the fringe somewhere. But these people that say, there was a report out of the University of Pittsburgh today that said it takes some people up to 8 weeks to get used to the time change. I just find this, almost too hard to believe. Does everybody go to bed at exactly the same time every night? I certainly don't. I mean, there are times when you have something special going on. Even if it's not a work night or a school night, maybe it's a Friday or a Saturday, you know, you have some special event or something, a family gathering or a party, or you go out to the movies, see the late movie, and you stay up an hour or two later. You know, you get an hour or two less sleep. Does that throw you off for 8 weeks? I don't think so. I don't think so, does it? So you make up for it the next day, you take a nap. Or make up for it over a couple of days. I just can't see where changing the clocks by 1 hour has this huge effect. Now, this Pitt study claimed that traffic accidents increase after we switch to daylight time. Heart attacks increase. I don't know. As I said, maybe it's just me. I personally could stay on daylight time all year long. I realize that that's a problem for especially younger school kids in the dead of winter because they're going to school in the dark. But, I mean, otherwise. You know, we used to be on daylight time only about half the year. I don't remember. Congress has fiddled with these rules several times over the past few decades. But certainly wasn't all that long ago when we had 6 months of standard time, and then 6 months of daylight time. Seems to me I can remember when I was a kid, we changed the clocks at the tail end of October, somewhere around late October, and then we switched back to daylight time at the end of April, if my memory serves me correctly. Well, now we only have about 4 months of standard time each year. And the rest of the year, close to 8 months, is daylight time. Because we now change the clocks in November. I think it's the second Sunday in November. Don't hold me to that. First part of November somewhere. And obviously we change back to daylight time in early March. We did it this past weekend. It's okay with me. I love to see the extra hour of daylight in the evening. You have more time after work or after school to enjoy the daylight, right? I don't know. There are some people who just like to complain, right? It doesn't matter what the issue is, they just like to complain. Yeah, we got to change the clocks again. Well, first of all, many clocks are automatic these days. You know, your cell phone, your smartphone, automatically goes to daylight time. Some cars do, I guess. I don't know, my car, you still have to push a button, but you know, it takes 5 seconds, and you're okay. If you still have analog clocks at home, you have to change those. How long does it take? 5-10 minutes? Mm-hmm. 283-2525. Are you really seriously affected by the change of time from daylight back to standard and back and forth? 283-2525 is the number. It's open talk on the program today. 283-2525. Okay, let's get to the people. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello.
Hi.
It does affect me. I actually get tired of changing everything. And it's not just to the clock in. We have two cell phones that apparently they're not going to change because this has happened before. So then you have to call and have that changed. That's just part of it. I don't know if you realize it or not. There's been studies done. The two most dangerous days of the year on the highways is the times that the clocks are changed. Because people don't know what time it is. They don't know whether they're late, early, or whatnot. And so there's more traffic accidents, and I guess they have studied that and seen that that is an issue. There's more people have heart attacks on the dates that the time changes and shortly thereafter than the normal, more or less your normal scheduling. So that also, because the uncertainty always brings trouble. I'll put it that way.
Well, I can hear you, but first of all, uncertainty, I mean, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out how to change your clock, do you? I mean, what's the uncertainty?
No, but
that?
It serves no useful purpose. This even gets a friend of mine worked for Intel in Arizona where they don't change their clocks.
Mm-hmm.
So then whenever he called other states about business, he had to worry whether he was calling on their lunch hour or whether they were already closed in the evening. You know, there's states now that aren't changing. What is it? Indiana is one of them, and Arizona. Okay. Now Florida wants to get on the bandwagon. Yeah. I think it's just time that we stop this stupidness and just leave it this way. Daylight savings time year-round. The restaurants even have an issue with that in the fall because they notice a big decrease in trade because everybody goes directly home. They don't go out and eat then after the time has changed because it's already dark out.
Well, for most folks who are working or in school, I think they appreciate the extra hour of daylight later in the day, don't you?
It's actually no extra. I mean, I think we ought to just leave it this way. Daylight savings time year-round.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Well, the whole concept of time is an artificial construct to begin with, you know.
Right.
We could set it any way we want to, really.
Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but do you know in China, are they all in one time zone?
Boy, I have no idea.
I've heard that.
It's a big country, but I don't know.
I heard that China, that way, the Chinese government, they don't have this issue with time zones in their country, that it's just all one time. Now, I could be wrong in that. I heard that. but I just have an issue. I always have an issue after the time has changed, wondering what time it actually is, because I guess I'm one of those people, I get up early, and so then when the issues of the time changes, it's like, did that, well, just like the issue with my cell phone. Now, it didn't change, so I'm looking at it, it's wrong. So then I don't know what time it actually is. I have to think to myself, oh, it's spring ahead, so now it's an hour off. So until I get that changed, it's just another thing to have to do.
I've never heard of a cell phone that doesn't.
I had to get up on the kitchen ceiling to change my older mother's clock because she went up and got up in a chair and took it down and changed it. And she said, I really shouldn't have been up there. And I said, no, you shouldn't have been.
That's for sure. Well, you ought to get your cell phone. I never heard of a cell phone that doesn't change automatically. I
mean, it happened last year. We had to call them, and then it changed. We out of three cell phones, two of them don't change.
Who do you call?
I called AT&T, and they did something, and it changed.
I've never heard of that before. You sure it's not your phone?
No, because this is a new phone. This is a new phone other than I had last year. Same contract. I guess maybe the contract said we don't change time. I don't know. But it's a new phone on the old contract, but it didn't change.
Yeah.
Strangely, oddly enough.
What
but
about your...
I think that we shouldn't be changing. The reason that this was changed in the first place, I understand it was to help the farmers, of which I am one of those, but it was to save candle wax back in Benjamin Franklin's time. And I'm thinking, are we still saving candle wax that we're doing this? I don't think so.
Thanks, my friend, for the call. I appreciate hearing from you
good
today.
Good talking.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks. 283-2525. So there's a gentleman who says he is affected by the time change. Gets confused as to what time it is. By the way, the point about his grandmother climbing up to change a clock, not a good idea, you know, really. Get someone to help you if you got to do that. Or keep the clock at a level where you can reach it, you know, without having to get up on a ladder or on a chair. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on the program today, 283-2525. Our colleague Pat Parker was telling me he was reading on social media. It was a discussion of a soapbox derby being held here in Butler on Jefferson Street Hill, Pat? Now, when I first heard of this, I said, wow. I never had one of those soapbox vehicles. I don't know. It was that Boy Scouts or something, did they have soapbox derby? I'm not sure. But some communities have had them. I think it started in Akron, Ohio. But man, oh man, if you're coming down Jefferson Street Hill, wow, I would not want to come down that hill in a homemade soapbox. A couple of orange crates, four wheels, and a primitive steering mechanism. That's about all you have. I wouldn't want to be coming down Jefferson. Obviously, they closed it off to traffic. And there were pictures. This was 1950, I believe it was, 1950. Had pictures, throngs of people out. Jefferson Street Hill, wow. I don't think I'd want to come down that hill in a little soapbox car. Open talk, let's get back to the people. Here's the phone number if you'd like to join us and share conversation, 283-2525. Hi, caller, thanks for waiting. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. Hello? Yes, hi, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
All right, listen, all that he had to do is take his battery out of his phone, put it back in, and then press the end button, and it would start all over again. He would have had time just set for him.
Well, what did you say again? There was a little overmodulated there. I'm not quite sure I understood.
Your last caller had called and didn't quite figure out to change his time on his phone.
Uh-huh.
All he had to do is take his battery out, just run and put it back in, and then press the end button, not the send button, the end button, and restart his phone back up.
Okay.
And he would have had his phone with the new time on it. That's why I called.
Have you ever had a... I've had, I don't know, I think I'm on my third smartphone now, and I've never had an issue. It just changes automatically, just like my computer does. My laptop, it automatically changes the time. I don't think it's that complicated with today's technology, is it?
Right, Dave.
He must not be getting, I don't know, maybe he's not getting the right signal. I even have a couple of clocks at home. I've had them for a couple of years now that are, well, they were... They're called atomic clocks, you know. Try to make it sound pretty highfalutin. But,
that does sound like it.
Yeah, they automatically adjust every so often to the time and the date and everything. And, heck, they're battery operated. I mean, you don't even have to plug them in. Obviously, you have to change the batteries every once in a while. But they automatically update daylight time. They automatically adjust to make sure that they're always right to the second, you know, every so often they'll adjust. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, right.
And it's, I mean, it costs like 12 bucks.
The thing I was talking about is that I switched from Cricket, but I was with Cricket, and I didn't know that when they made me switch my phone over, they used to switch over right to the, what you call it, the time set itself every year, but now I just take the battery out. And I just want everybody to know that, that's all.
Appreciate
it. Take the battery out, put it back in, and press, just get it reset again.
Okay. Thanks. Good tip.
Yes, I'll let you go.
Thank you. 283-2525. Well, there's a tip. Although taking a battery out of a cell phone sometimes, depending on what kind you have, is not the easiest thing to do. In fact, I don't know, it was several years ago. I guess it was maybe the first smartphone I had. Because after a while, after so many years, the battery doesn't hold a charge as long as it originally did. Okay, you find yourself having to charge it every day, or maybe more than that even. And I took it back to the place where I bought it and said, you know, I think I need a new battery because it's not holding a charge anymore. And it turns out that it would have cost me almost as much to get a new battery as to get a new phone. Now, I had some credit built up. I'd been with this company for, I don't know, 3 years or so. So I ended up getting a new phone because it was only a few dollars more than buying a new battery with the darn thing. Now, this may have been the first smartphone that I had. It's a few years back. They're a lot more expensive these days, aren't they? Yeah. The newest iPhone, which I understand is not doing too well. Sales are not so hot for the iPhone X. Probably because it costs almost $1,000. And most people are saying, are you kidding me? $1,000? I'm not going there. So they're not selling very well. And it's really not that much of an improvement over earlier models. Are you an iPhone person or Android? Pat Parker, are you? Which, Android? Yeah. I'm iPhone. I like iPhone. I think I'm on my third one now. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525. Open talk on this segment of the It's Your Turn program. So, anybody remember the soapbox derby back in the 50s on Jefferson Street Hill? I guess there was some discussion that they may have done it on North Main Street Hill as well, which strikes me as even more dangerous. I don't think I'd want to come down North Main Street Hill on a bicycle, let alone in a homemade soapbox vehicle, which we're sometimes kind of thrown together. I don't know. Do they even have these soapbox derbies anymore? My guess is today, with increased liability and lawsuits and everything else, probably a lot of folks have just decided, not worth the risk. We didn't worry about that as much back in years gone by. 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Your first caller said that he had to call the phone company to reset the time on his phone.
Yeah.
My husband doesn't use smartphones. He doesn't do computers or anything. And his phone is just you know, a regular flip phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just shut it off and turned it back on and the time came on. So
yeah.
He might be able to try that also.
Yeah, even the first before smartphones, I call them flip phones or whatever, cell phones, you know. I had a couple of those, and they changed automatically, too.
Mine did, but his didn't, so I just shut it off and turned it back on, and it was fine.
Bingo, huh? There we go. Yeah.
So, thank you. Have a good day.
And you. Thanks a lot. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Remember when we all had VCRs? You had to change those twice a year with the time change. Now that was difficult. You had to find the instruction book to do that. We don't have those anymore. And I imagine the newer machines do it automatically as well. Well, with all of the advanced technology. But if you didn't change it, it just sat there and blinked at you forever. Your old VCR. I don't know whether you can even buy those anymore. 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hello. How are you?
Good, good. I heard you talking about the boxcar races.
Yeah, soapbox derbies. Mm-hmm.
I seen a picture where they were doing them on Jefferson Street. The picture was in the hoagie shop on North McCain.
Huh. Yeah. Well, that was the.
I was in there buying a hoagie one day, and I looked up and I seen this picture with the boxcar racer cars coming down that hill over there.
Yeah, I saw a picture that was posted online, and my first thought was, "Wow, that would seem to be an awful dangerous hill to come down in a soapbox vehicle."
Yeah,
that's a really steep hill, you know.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's pretty steep.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I thank you.
Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. 283. Well, you know, obviously it happened. The pictures are there. The photographic evidence is there. I just wonder how safe it was. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Well, a beautiful sunny day to you today, Dave.
Yes, it is. A little chilly, but we'll take the sunshine, eh?
Yes, we will. And I wanted to say my father worked for the railroad, and they never changed their clocks.
Hmm.
They always worked, you know, their clocks never got changed. That's the way it was.
Do you know what railroad he worked for?
The BNLE.
Okay, Baltimore and Bessemer
Lake Erie.
Bessemer and Lake Erie, yeah.
Yes. And another thing, I do remember a soapbox derby, but it was on Main Street, and I believe they started just a little halfway down.
Oh, okay. Well, that immediately makes more sense to me. If you started at the top in one of those homemade soapbox vehicles, you'd be going out of control by the time you got to the bottom.
Yes, you would indeed.
Be too dangerous.
You would indeed.
So they
just wanted to call and share.
Just went up far enough so that they could get it going, I suppose. Huh?
Yeah, without, too much, like you said before, you know, that's a long way to come down.
Mm-hmm.
And you got young people riding something like that. You don't know what kind of a...
Oh, absolutely. You know, a wheel comes off or something like that, they could have a disaster. The ones that I've seen on TV, and I really haven't seen them for a long time, they were on kind of a gentle slope. I mean, it was enough that, you know, they moved, but they weren't going very fast.
Yes.
I don't know.
Exactly. So, well, you have a good day.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Never had one of those, never built one of those. No. First of all, you'd probably need some help from an adult. I mean, you know, a kid could put a couple of orange crates together and maybe come up with a primitive chassis, but, you know, you need two axles and four wheels to start with, and you need some kind of a steering mechanism. Primitive though it may be, I doubt that too many of them had gears, but some sort of, with cables or something to steer it a little bit. Did they have brakes? I don't know. I've never ridden in one. I don't think they had brakes. Maybe that's one reason why they've kind of died out, because of the danger and the risk for municipalities, you know. in this day and age. A municipality closes off a street, or a nonprofit decides they want to have one of these races, and then there's an accident, and then they get sued and everything else. So I don't know. I haven't seen them around here recently at all. And maybe it's just a sign of the times. You know, it was a simpler time. Soapbox Derby races. Yeah. For some reason, it sticks in my mind they started around Akron, Ohio. I could be wrong on that. But for some reason, that's back in the corner of my mind. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. But obviously, we've had several calls now from people who say, yep, they had them. Certainly on Jefferson Street and even on North Main Street Hill. But they didn't necessarily start at the top, which makes a heck of a lot of sense. You know, you could go up a little ways so you get the thing rolling, but it wouldn't be going 40 or 50 miles an hour when it's coming down the hill.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Go ahead. You're on the air. This is Dave.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
They had the Soapbox Derby on the 4th of July. They started at Franklin Street and went down as far as Monroe Street. They had people that pushed the get. They would get the kids started, and then they'd be stoppers at the foot. Uh-huh. And they were sponsored by the businessmen in Butler. And Bernie Levine was one of the big sponsors that really helped build it. And the big Soapbox Derby is taken care of over in Akron, Ohio. Every year they have a huge, big Soapbox Derby over there. So there. Now you know.
Now, just a minute here, because I was taking some notes. You say it was on, you remember it being on Franklin Street?
It started at Franklin Street and would come down Jefferson Street to Monroe.
Started on Franklin.
Okay. It did not come down the real steep hill coming into Butler. It was started on Franklin Street and came down Jefferson Street to Monroe.
Okay.
Got that?
Yeah, well, so they had to make a turn? They had to make a...
No. They just lined them up. Right where you turn to go on the Franklin Street. It was on Jefferson Street.
Okay.
But then they would get them started, and they would just go down Jefferson Street as far as Monroe.
I got you.
I got you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Sure.
Bye-bye.
283-2525. So... in that case, they were going the other direction of what I was thinking, right? Because Franklin Street is, the middle school is on Franklin Street, right? In St. Peter's Church. So they were going down Jefferson Street that way. The hill's not as steep that way. This is becoming more and more of a mystery here. I can understand that. The reason I couldn't quite get what she was talking about is because I was thinking they were going the other way. You know, if somebody says you're coming down Jefferson Street Hill, I'm thinking you're starting up there by the, whatever that convenience store is up there, Honey Bear, and coming down that way. But I didn't realize they were going the other direction. Well, I have to take another look at that picture. We'll have to dig that picture out again and see if we can figure out which way they were going there, Pat. Yeah. And they did start in Akron, Ohio. Who knows? Who knows why? Maybe that's because of all the rubber plants they had out there. Goodyear and so on way back when. Our soapbox runs on Goodyear tires. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hey, Dave. I was raised on Cliff Street. And I remember them blocking Cliff Street off and running their derby a few years down Cliff Street.
So there's another street where they used to have them, huh?
And they run Jefferson, they run west on Jefferson. No, I'm sorry, east. They went east.
Mm-hmm. So they went towards Shikora, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Starting at the top of the hill.
Now, you say they started at Cliff Street or they started down Cliff Street? I'm not quite sure.
No, at one time they raced down Cliff Street.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah. Now, that's a pretty steep hill too, isn't it?
It's not too bad. So as a kid, we used to block it off, and we'd always sit out in the curb very much and get out.
Mm-hmm. The good old days, huh?
Yep, good old days.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, see you later.
Thanks, my friend. Good to talk with you. So apparently these soapbox derbies were pretty popular here in Butler. Pretty popular. Yeah, way back when. Well, I suppose for kids that was great fun. Yeah. Build one, race one, win a trophy. Alrighty, that wraps up our time. Oh, my goodness, our time is gone for Open Talk here. We'll have more later in the week, of course. But we'll get ready to welcome our first guests here on the program today. We're going to be talking about Daffodil Days coming up here very soon now, another week or so, I believe. And also later on the program today, we'll be chatting about the local area agency on aging. Brittany Bozzelli will be with us. They're having a seminar coming up soon on emergency preparedness for seniors. And we'll be getting an update on the general activities of the Area Agency on Aging. So all of that's still to come here on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. We'll take a break, and we'll be back for more right after these words.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary, and the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. I want to remind you that coming up later this week, we have one of our most popular programs. We've been doing it each year for many, many years in advance of the GFWC Intermediate League of Butler's annual antique show and sale. We will be having our antique show on the radio coming up on Wednesday. So get your questions ready. We will once again be pleased to welcome antiques dealer Ellen King, who will be with us on Wednesday, and we'll be taking your phone calls. You can get at least a little bit of information on whether or not some of the stuff that you have around the house might be valuable, might be an antique, a collector's item. We'll also have guests with us from the Intermediate League on Wednesday as well. So we look forward to that once again a bit later this week. We also look forward every spring to Daffodil Days. It's the big fundraiser, one of the big fundraisers for the American Cancer Society. And that's what we're going to talk about next. We welcome two guests. Emma Craven is back with us from the American Cancer Society staff. Emma, good to see you again.
You as well. Thank you for having me.
And also back with us is Tony Grupp, a volunteer with the American Cancer Society here locally. Tony, good to see you as well.
Thank you, Dave. Great to be here.
We had a call, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago now, from, I think it was, you know, we had all that warm weather in February, and folks were anxious for spring. We had a false spring. We had a call from a listener who said, we're going to have Daffodil Days this year. I said, well, I think so. We'll get the information for you. So that's why we reached out to you folks, and lo and behold, here it is. Well, what, another week, is that right?
Correct. Starts Monday, March 19th.
Is this, first of all, it's a national event, right? Happened all over the place?
It was a national event. Right now, it's really focused on the East Coast.
I see. Yeah, I guess other parts of the country are not digging out from snow and so on.
Correct. Yeah. No, the places where it's warm year-round, they didn't sell as well because, like you said, it's warm weather all year-round.
They have their own flowers, yeah.
So East Coast is really looking forward to spring all the time, especially now in the weather. Everyone's just hoping for some sunshine and no rain. So
there are places along the East Coast that they're getting ready for a third major storm here in the next day or so. So they'll really be looking forward to daffodil days. Well, I look forward to them around here. It's a fun thing. It's a great, it's a major fundraiser, isn't it, Emma, for the Cancer Society?
Yes. Back in its heyday, Butler County was doing $80,000 alone. So we're hoping to get back to them very soon.
Mm-hmm. So what's the deal, Tony? Are they still taking orders for daffodils?
Well, all the pre-orders have been placed. They were due in February, and they are going to be delivered on Tuesday, March 20th.
That's a week from tomorrow, yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. The exciting part is that anybody that did not have the opportunity to pre-order, we're going to be set up in several different locations in Butler.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. So you can buy them kind of as you first come, first serve.
Huh? Right, right. Mm-hmm. Would you like me to tell you those locations?
Yeah, let's go down through the list here. That'd be great.
Okay. We're going to be at the Butler Memorial Hospital, both Tower and Brady Entrance, Wednesday the 21st through Saturday the 24th, from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. We're going to be at the Crossroad Campus in both building 127 and 129, Wednesday through Friday of that week from 9 to 3. And then we're going to be at the Benbrook Surgery Center and the Benbrook Professional Building Wednesday through Friday from 8 to 3. So there's lots of opportunities to get your daffodils.
Mm-hmm. So that's next week. Wednesday through either Friday or Saturday at all of those locations. What about the folks who pre-ordered? Do they know where their daffodils are going to be delivered?
Yes, we've been working on that, and I've spoke to, we have about 30 pre-sale orders from local businesses, and so we'll be delivering those on Tuesday, and I've contacted all of them. And then there are a few people that pre-ordered that will be picking them up, and those will be picked up at St. Peter's Roman Catholic Church on Tuesday the 20th from 1 to 4. And we will also have some extra flowers there if that's a convenient location for someone to stop in and get their daffodils.
And that is next Tuesday as well, right?
Correct.
Yeah, next Tuesday. Did the Daffodil Days promotion disappear for a while, Emma? Tell me about that.
Was it yes. Right? So the last year that we participated as a whole was 2013. 2014 through 2016, we did take a break, and we realized the mistake in that break and how much people appreciated the daffodils and missed them, so they were brought back in 2017. In Butler County alone for 2018, we're looking to double what we did last year. So it's been very exciting. We also brought back our sponsors for 2018. And I would really like to say thank you to Americole Mining, Moses Jewelers, Dr. Broccoli, and a big thanks to Gettler Distributing because they store all our daffodils for the week. So they put up with us coming in and out of their business, and they are just the kindest people to work with. So,
well, you need kind of a cool warehouse type location because you have to keep them from bursting out into bloom, right?
Yes, and we have our bunches and the mini pots. So as long as you keep them in a cool location, they won't bloom. But as soon as you take them out of that cool location, they're going to start blooming right away.
Take them out, put them in water, and it's like magic, huh?
Magic, yes.
Yeah. Where do all these daffodils come from, by the way? Do they harvest them in different places, or do you know?
Washington State, actually.
Get out. Wow, that's a long ways off.
They've been our vendor ever since we started the campaign, so.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. They'd have to ship them then in refrigerated trucks?
Yes, they do. They ship them in refrigerated trucks, and then as soon as they're brought to each location, we all have to have cold storage to keep them in.
Mm-hmm. One thing I like about daffodils, first of all, to me, it's the first flower of spring.
It is.
Yes.
Really. And I suppose, Emma, that there's a little bit of symbolism in there. That's why.
Absolutely.
Daffodil was chosen by the Cancer Society.
Yes, the daffodil is our symbol of hope. Mm-hmm. So along with seeing it and expecting spring and warmer times, we're also making sure the community is aware of the hope that the American Cancer Society and the community can bring to each other. So whether you're picking up daffodils for yourself, buying them for a loved one, we just want everyone to know that when they see a daffodil, there's hope in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the donation, Tony? What's it cost to get a bunch?
Okay, a bunch of daffodils, which consists of 10 flowers, is $10 donation. We have the potted mini daffodils, and that's a $15 donation. Then we also have something called Gift of Hope, and that is a $25 donation. And instead of you receiving the daffodils, volunteers will deliver the order to local hospitals and nursing homes.
Mm-hmm. So the potted mini ones, that includes the bulb, right?
Yes.
So you could, after they bloom, you could plant that, right, in your flower bed or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You'll have them next year.
Mine are starting to come up around my pond, so they're ready to...
Mine started to come up back in February. Really? They got about 10 inches high.
Oh.
And then we had the cold snap, and it kind of wilted over a little bit. But they'll be back. Daffodils are hardy. That's another reason why it's a good symbol for the Cancer Society. They're tough.
Absolutely, yes.
They can take a little snow. They can take a little frost, you know, bounce right back. Yeah. And they're just gorgeous, too.
They are. Wow. I know you love them, Dave.
I do. I can remember the first time, at least that I remember Daffodil Days, walking into the bank. And they had every teller, you know, along the teller windows lined up there, and everyone had a big pot of them sitting there above them. And I just thought that was gorgeous. You know?
PNC Moraine Plaza will have them blooming next week.
They'll
on the
have
tellers.
Them blooming, huh?
Fine, yes.
Oh, that's good.
And another thing about, Emma mentioned our sponsors. One of our sponsors, Americal Mining, through their generous support, we are able to deliver to several different nursing homes and assisted living facilities for those people to enjoy the daffodils and the sign of hope.
Very nice.
That's very nice.
Well, Americal is a great... A great help to nonprofits in the community. They're good neighbors. Yeah,
they are.
So, Emma, let's talk a little bit about what happens to the funds that are raised through the Daffodil Days campaign. Where do they go?
Well, I could talk about this all day, but I will keep it short. Here in Butler County, we have several different programs, and a lot of times people don't realize that the money is coming back to their local community. We have our Road to Recovery program, which is free rides for cancer patients to and from treatment. We have our Look Good, Feel Better program, which helps patients get a support group and learn how to wear wigs and apply makeup when they're going through treatment. And we also have Reach to Recovery, which is when a woman is going through breast cancer, she is provided a support person who has already been through the process to really talk her through it, give her support and motivation. Along with that, we also have a man-to-man program as well. Not just locally, we have our support on our phone line, which is a 24/7, 365, always answered by a human. And it's 1-800-227-2345. That is my number one go-to resource that I give to everyone, whether they have insurance questions, they need recipes to cook because their body isn't handling food well through treatment, or they just need someone to talk to at 2 a.m. because they can't sleep. There's someone that will talk to you.
Wow.
We have on www.cancer.org. You can also find all of our resources. You can find our programs. You can find our research that we have going on. And you can also find our support groups online. So if you're not comfortable talking to someone on a telephone, you can talk to them through a chat group. And like I said, I could talk about this all day. We have so many wonderful programs that people don't realize. And all of them are free thanks to the donations and funds that we receive at the American Cancer Society.
So all these programs are up and running locally. Road to Recovery, for example. Now, if you don't have a friend or relative, for a cancer survivor undergoing treatment, they may be okay to drive to treatment. but not so good driving home afterwards. So, you know, you got to have a driver to help you out with that.
Absolutely. And that's what we're here for. You would call the 1-800 number or go online to set up your ride. It's really easy. We have several people in Butler County who are road volunteers, and we are always looking for more road recovery volunteers. It's a great way for people to get involved, whether they have a part-time job, a little extra time on their hands, or they're retired. Mm-hmm. We're always looking for volunteers to help out.
And look good, feel better. Obviously, with some treatments, especially with chemotherapy, sometimes with radiation too, there are problems that you need to take care of.
Yes, yes. And like I said, along with the makeup kit that is donated, the most important part is you leave with a support group. You leave with people who will hopefully become friends by the end of the group, so you can call them afterwards if you're still having questions or you just want to meet up because you've made new friends. So,
Tony, you've been involved as a volunteer for a few years now.
20, actually.
I would say that's a few, yeah.
That's a few. But it's very important to me, and I believe in the mission. I'm a Road to Recovery volunteer driver, of course, Daffodil Days, and then also involved in the Relay for Life, which will be in June this year. June 16th.
I was going to ask you if we still had Relay here.
Yes, so. At the Butler Farm Show grounds, so we look forward to that. Another opportunity next week is if there is someone that would like to volunteer and give some time to the Daffodil campaign. We could use maybe one more driver to deliver on Tuesday, and then we have lots of time slots available at the locations that we mentioned earlier.
And what if somebody is interested? What do they do?
Well, they can call me at 724-679-6853, and I will work them into the time slot, whatever's convenient for them. We usually do about two-hour windows, so we make it convenient for everyone.
We are making great progress in researching cancer and cures for cancer and various medical treatments. Over the past 20 years, there's been great strides made.
Absolutely. And I just want to mention that with our research, we have over $25 million invested in Pennsylvania alone. We have over 48 grants right now, including grants at the University of Pittsburgh, the Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania, or Philadelphia. So it's the research is very, very important, and I just want to stress how thankful we are to have the donations to continue the research, because not only does the American Cancer Society do their own research, but we also fund early career researchers, and we've actually had 47 of them go on to win a Nobel laureate. So it's been an amazing program, and research is so important, and I'm just so happy we can continue doing it, and I love to hear all the breakthroughs that are coming through, and it's just amazing.
We also know more now about how lifestyle can affect the risk of getting cancer.
Absolutely. Prevention and screenings are a big part of our education component. I love to promote a healthy lifestyle, running, eating well, but it also is all about balance. If you love ice cream, feel free to eat the ice cream. But we offer many low-cost or free screenings to people if they need a free mammogram or any type of screening. Again, going on the website www.cancer.org or calling that phone number 1-800-227-2345. You can find many resources to help you prevent and get screened ahead of time to detect early cancer.
And again, when you look just over the past few decades, look at tobacco use. How that has changed so markedly. I was reading about this one time last year. I was just, how when you're browsing online, sometimes you come across these stories. There were doctors who used to advertise cigarettes on television, even back in the 50s. I'm not quite sure when the Surgeon General's report came out that, positively identified tobacco use as a cancer cause. I think that was in the early to mid-60s, but there were doctors advertising cigarettes on TV in the 1950s. Amazing.
It is funny that you would bring that up, because actually the American Cancer Society were the first ones to prove that there was a direct link between smoking and cancer. And the reason that came about was because there was a group of researchers at the American Cancer Society who smoked and wanted to prove that it had no link.
Wow.
And instead they detected that it was the number one link between smoking and lung cancer. So
I never heard that story before.
I just learned that a couple months ago, and now it's one of my favorite things to share.
Yeah, it is. Well, the other thing, there was a time that smoking was somehow considered cool or sophisticated, and now it's just the opposite. When you see somebody that smokes, you know, most people's reaction is,
yuck.
I mean, why? Yes. Why are you doing that? Or why are you still doing that? You know, if you watch any old movies, and Turner Classic Movies is my favorite channel on TV. I love to watch old movies. But it's shocking to see the amount of smoking in movies, even through the even up into the 70s. But if you go back to the 40s and 50s, man, that was, I don't know, it was considered very sophisticated for women to smoke, and guys smoked all the time, and war movies, and it's just kind of gobsmacking when you see it time after time in these films. We've come a long way, Emma.
Yes, we have, and I do a lot of teachings in elementary and middle school, and I always, one of my favorite activities is to bring up those posters of old-time movie stars with their cigarettes and how fancy they looked and how it was promoted to look cool and sophisticated, like you said. And, you know, about 80 to 90% of the students that I talked to are like, that is not cool. I don't know why you think it's cool. I'm like, well, I don't think it's cool either, so I'm proud of you.
Well, and you got to start with young people. I can remember when I was a kid, even, I don't know, maybe early teens, 12, 13 years old, they sold candy cigarettes.
Yes, I remember eating those
stores.
As well.
Penny, you know, for the penny candy, you know, you get those caramels with the sugar in the middle and the wax, wax lips and all that. You know, the penny candy store, and they all had candy cigarettes.
Yes,
for kids. Goodness gracious sakes alive! I mean, it's almost unthinkable today, but that's not all that long ago.
Yes, but the good thing is that there are resources out there to help people who have started smoking and want to quit, or they have been told to quit by their doctor. So, along with the American Cancer Society, there are so many organizations out there that are willing to help. You know, just reach out if you need help quitting, because we would love to help you.
Mm-hmm. There are a number of other dangers, of course, in terms of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
We even learned that the food we eat, if we eat the wrong stuff over a long period of time, can be a cause of cancer. So there's a lot of things you can do to change your lifestyle in addition to, you know, getting rid of tobacco products of any sort.
Yes.
We're talking about Daffodil Days coming up here in Butler next week, all next week. And if you didn't pre-order daffodils, that's fine. Exciting news. You'll be able to pick them up at a number of locations. We'll go over that list again before we wrap up with our guests. But need to take a quick break right now, so we'll do that. And we'll come back and talk a little bit more with Tony and with Emma here on WISR in just a moment. Back to the Monday edition of It's Your Turn after this.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
We invite you to be with us on tomorrow's program, the It's Your Turn program for Tuesday. have more guests tomorrow, including Kathy Emmons, who is scheduled to be the speaker for the annual Good Friday Breakfast Program coming up at the Butler County Family YMCA on Good Friday, which is just around the corner. So we'll be chatting with Kathy Emmons on the program tomorrow. I have not met her. She'll be visiting with us. Also tomorrow, students from Butler High School who will be raising the curtain soon on their spring musical. Seems like a lot of the high schools are having their musicals early this year, a lot of them in March. So students from Butler High with us on tomorrow's program. We're chatting right now with Tony Grupp, who's a volunteer, longtime volunteer locally with the American Cancer Society, and also with Emma Craven, who is community manager for Relay for Life. Here in Butler, that'll be coming up in June. There are relays held all over, though, right, Emma? It's not the only one.
Correct. We have over 4,000 relays globally. So it's a huge campaign. It was an original grassroots fundraising campaign, and it's still trucking along today in Butler County. We have actually, over the past 3 years, gone over goal. I'm so proud of my volunteers every year, and we're hoping to do that again this year on June 16th at the Butler Farm Showgrounds. We do have a couple changes from last year, the main one being that we moved the event from July to June. Mm-hmm. The second is that we are no longer a 24-hour event. We are from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m., and we have a ton of new and exciting things going on at the relay. So if you've never been to the relay, or you have, it doesn't matter, because we're going to have a lot of new things this year, a lot of kids' activities, free entertainment from local bands, and just so much stuff going on the whole day. So it'll be a fun time.
Oh, we'll look forward to that. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get a little closer to the date. But I like the change. I've been there during the overnight periods, and it kind of settled down. It was more of a kind of a sleep-in than anything else. There'd be a few stragglers out there walking, but that was about it, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. Back in 1985, when Relay started, if you came during the night, you would still find hundreds of people walking the track. Over the years, it has become, like you said, pretty much just a camp out. And we really wanted to switch it up and kind of focus on changing with the times and making sure that it's still a fun event, but also it is still a celebration of our survivors and a remembrance of those we have lost. And the main focus is community, bringing everyone together, letting them know that they have an organization and volunteers and community members in the area to help them. And it's not so much about awareness, because we all know cancer exists. It's an awareness of what's out there to help you.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's review, before we run out of time here, let's review our information on Daffodil Days. First of all, it's next week, right, Tony Grupp?
It is next week, mm-hmm. Monday, March 19th, we'll be starting. And then on Tuesday, we will be delivering to the local businesses. And Tuesday afternoon, we'll be at St. Peter's Roman Catholic Church, and that's 127 Franklin Street.
I assume that's going to be in their big hall, which is right next to the church.
It's in the lower level of the hall.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. I know we are. So you can park in mm-hmm. the back and come right in. And
very convenient that way.
Very convenient, yep. Yes. Yep. So that will be there for some pre-order orders that need picked up, and then we'll have extra flowers and pots there for a convenient location for people to stop by.
For folks who did not have the opportunity to pre-order for one reason or another, they can make a donation and still pick up daffodils at, three different locations starting on Wednesday of next week?
Starting on Wednesday. Butler Memorial Hospital, both entrances from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., Crossroad Campus, both buildings, Wednesday through Friday from 9 to 3, and Benbrook Surgery Center and Professional Building, Wednesday through Friday, 8 to 3. And so lots of opportunities. So
the donation for a bunch of daffodils is?
$10, and there's 10 stems in a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
The potted mini daffodils are $15 donation. And then we have the Gift of Hope, which is a $25 donation. And instead of you receiving the daffodils, volunteers will deliver them to hospitals and nursing homes.
Well, I'm torn. You know, I love to be able to pop those daffodils in a glass of water. You know, you can make them bloom out in about 15 minutes if you use warm water. It's really amazing.
Cut off the bottom a little bit.
Learned the tricks throughout the years. But on the other hand, there's those potted mini daffodils, which are sustainable.
There
you
are.
After they bloom, you can put them in the ground, and you'll have them next year. And they spread like wildfire, too.
They sure do.
So help out the American Cancer Society with the funds raised through Daffodil Days support a number of programs, as Emma has told us. Plus, it's just fun. It's springtime. In fact, it occurs to me that the first day of spring is, in fact, next Tuesday. So
yes,
the timing is perfect this year. Thanks for being with us, Emma Craven, Community Manager for Relay for Life for the American Cancer Society. Good to see you again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And Tony, always good to see you, too, in your bright yellow daffodil shirt there that you have on. I love it.
Just for you, Dave.
I knew you did. Tony Grupp, who's served as a volunteer with the Cancer Society here locally for many, many years. More to come on It's Your Turn. Nice to have you with us on this Monday. Nice to have sunshine. A little chilly out there, but the sun is nice. Brittany Bozzelli will be with us next. We're going to be getting an update on the Area Agency on Aging, and in particular on a seminar that's coming up regarding emergency preparedness for seniors. So stick around. All that is to come yet here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR. We'll be back to chat with Brittany in just a moment or so. Be right back.
You're a dog owner, a dog parent. What does your dog mean to you? Company? Fun? Affection? Sure. But let's add comfort. Your dog offers a level of comfort at just the right time when you need some of that. Comfort. And that's what O'Shea offers at Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler. Comfort. So many people have told us that with O'Shea present at a funeral, she offers a level of comfort that's indescribable. Comfort for the family and comfort for everyone attending. So O'Shea is available for a funeral service, but only if requested by the family. O'Shea creates a feeling of calm, comfort. So come in and meet O'Shea and see why so many folks want her here at a funeral. And while you're here, ask about our unique services, our competitive costs, and our cremation program. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or visit our website at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller Funeral Home, the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Whether you're a competitive athlete or a weekend warrior, any injury that keeps you on the sidelines should be treated by a sports medicine expert. Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers offers sports medicine specialists right here in Butler to get you back to enjoying the activities you love. Doctors Rob Waltrip, Josh Szabo, and John Richmond have trained with some of the biggest names in orthopedic sports medicine and use their expertise to treat you. Tri-Rivers accepts most major insurance plans, including both Highmark and UPMC. Learn more at TriRiversMSK.com. Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, partnering with the Butler community for more than 20 years.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Sunshine and blue sky, a little chilly today. I don't know, Brittany, is the sun still shining when you
come
in?
It's still really sunny.
Very nice. A little brisk, you know.
Yep.
This might be the best day of the week, though. They're talking about snow tomorrow on Wednesday. Brittany Bozzelli is here. Brittany is the communications outreach coordinator, right?
Yep.
For the Butler County Area Agency on Aging. And you hear her every week here on WISR.
Familiar voice.
Mm-hmm. With the senior citizen update. What time is that on?
I think it's on around 9 after the church service.
On Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brittany is with us on a regular basis, but we wanted to bring her in today to talk about a couple of things. We want to get a general update on the Area Agency on Aging. Plus, there is a seminar coming up that will be of interest to seniors or to folks who have seniors in their family, maybe adult children with parents who are getting older. Tell us about this seminar, Brittany.
So we're having an emergency preparedness seminar for seniors and individuals with disabilities. Mm-hmm. That is going to be next Tuesday, March 20th at the YMCA.
We're going to have a vendor fair as well as individual workshops with the American Red Cross to talk about emergency preparedness and planning. And that is from 10 to 2 next Tuesday, March 20th.
So what kind of emergencies are we talking about here? Something like the flooding that we had last summer, for example, in the city of Butler?
Like the flooding, mudslides, tornadoes, rare, but they could happen. Mm-hmm. Just what you could do in any event of an emergency, including if there's a shelter-in-place emergency.
Are there special concerns for seniors with regard to this sort of these sort of occurrences?
There are, especially in terms of any medications, preparing, you know, your daily, if you have a whole bunch of meds that you need to take and you need to get out of the house at the last minute, what you can do to prepare that, as well as if you have any assistive devices that require electricity. So there's a lot of thought that goes into preparing for seniors and individuals with disabilities.
Who are you aiming at with this seminar? Seniors are welcome. Would adult children of aging parents be welcome as well?
Yeah, caregivers. It's definitely good for caregivers to hear this information because they're the ones who might have to put this plan in place for the individual. The three seminars that we're having, the last one, which is called Be Red Cross Ready, is geared towards those caregivers. The first one is geared towards seniors themselves. The second one is geared towards individuals with disabilities. And the last one for caregivers and other family members.
Will these run concurrently or will there be one after the other?
I believe the first seminar starts at 10:30, and they run every hour between 10 and 2.
Is there any cost to attend this event next Tuesday?
Completely free.
Wow. Can't beat the price.
No.
Huh? And I'm assuming there's no pre-registration or anything. You just stop in.
If you're interested in attending a specific seminar, we ask that you call the Agency on Aging at 724-282-3008. This way we have enough materials prepared for those individuals attending. But for the vendor fair, you are more than willing to walk in.
Who is going to be facilitating the workshops?
The American Red Cross, Leslie Kolesny, and their volunteers are facilitating the two Red Cross workshops. The emergency preparedness for for individuals with disabilities is going to be facilitated by me. And that's a program called Feeling Safe, Being Safe, which is from the California Office of Developmental Disabilities. Mm-hmm. So I was trained to do that.
Yeah, anybody who relies on any special medical equipment, whether it's help for breathing or any of a number of other things, if you get an extended power outage, that's a major problem.
It is. It is.
Could be a life-saving problem.
It could be. At our vendor fair, we're also going to have different organizations. Some of those organizations are going to be bringing adaptive devices and equipment to talk to consumers about how they can use that in the event of an emergency.
You mean stuff that doesn't require electricity?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Or I suppose some people, depending if it was a critical need, I mean, if they really had to have this particular device, that maybe they have a generator or something.
Yeah, or a backup plan, a place to go that you know that you can charge it.
But even there, if it was a person with a disability or a senior, particularly an elderly senior, that's not the easiest thing to do, to get a generator started and switch over to that,
you know,
even if you have emergency power. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Be prepared in advance, I guess, is the big story.
It is. That is the key tagline of our workshop.
And who knows when it's going to happen, you know. Nobody predicted those floods last summer. It was right after the 4th of July, I think, early July. West end of the city of Butler, parts of Butler Township, other places as well. And you never know when you're going to have, obviously, a power outage. It can happen at any time, but an extended one. We had one several years ago here in Butler. I don't think you were here then, but there were people around Butler who were without electricity for 4 and 5 days.
Oh, wow.
It was a major windstorm. It was a very, very unusual storm. It was late summer, as I recall. It might even have been September. And there was word that we might have some, you know, severe weather, but it never rained. There was never any severe lightning or anything like that you would associate with a power outage. We just had very strong gusty winds, brought down a lot of trees, and that's the longest power outage that most folks around here can ever remember, certainly for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was not unusual for folks to be without power for 3, 4, even 5 days.
That's awful.
Very, very, yeah, very dangerous, and especially for the people we've been talking about here. So if you're interested in attending any specific one, you should call the Area Agency on Aging.
Yes, and our number is 724-282-3008.
Have you done this before?
This is the first time.
I was going to say, I don't remember it before.
Nope. Yeah, we had a request from some seniors, so we decided to run with it and offer this program.
Mm-hmm. Community Resource Fair, preparedness workshops, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., did you
Correct.
Say? Mm-hmm. That's when all the information and vendors and booths are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this takes place at the Y.
Yep, the Butler YMCA.
Butler County Family YMCA on North Washington Street, Tuesday of next week. Brittany Bazzelli is with us. She is the Community Outreach Coordinator for the Area Agency on Aging. Let's talk a little bit about what else the Area Agency on Aging does. First of all, it's become critically important to many of our citizens over the couple of decades, I guess, that it's been around. There are a lot of other programs that are offered. Can you talk about some of those, Brittany?
So we are a community resource agency for seniors in Butler County. We've been in operation since 1982, so way before I was born, I like to say. 33 years?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah. So our primary goal is to keep senior citizens out of facilities and in the most appropriate setting to receive their care, ideally their home. So all of our services reflect in-home care, meals, other resources, anything you can think of that a senior needs. Call our office. We're probably able to direct you to someone who can help you if we can't ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And this is to for many seniors to be able to let them stay in their homes as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to going to a care facility, nursing home, or a personal care home or something like
Correct.
That.
Correct.
Yeah. Are there fees for any of the services that are offered through the Butler County Area Agency on Aging?
There are. All of our programs are income and asset-based. So for our in-home services, we have two programs, waiver and options. In order to qualify for either of those, you have to go through a financial application, and it's dependent on your income and resources.
Mm-hmm. So you can get that checked out. I suppose starts with a phone call, right?
It does. And there's often a waiting list for these services, so it's something that you want to do sooner rather than later. If you think you're going to be in need of services down the road, you're better off calling to contact us and look and see if there's services that you might qualify for based on income or exactly what you need, because when you call and it's too late, it's often too late.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of the specific services that are available?
We offer home assistance services through options and waiver in home.
What would that include?
Just light cleaning, housekeeping, meal prep, things like that.
Someone comes into the home and helps with that?
Correct. It's very light cleaning. They won't pick up your things and dust around them, so it's not a maid, but they are there to help. Laundry assistance services, meal prep. We offer home-delivered meals through our home-delivered meal program. And we can also offer in-home care for someone to come in and help you with your medication management or bathing or feeding, dependent on your income and skill level.
Mm-hmm. Do these individuals come in several times a week, once a week, or does that all depend?
It depends on the care plan and what's available.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you contract or does the Area Agency on Aging actually have people who do this?
We do contract out. No one is actually employed by the Agency on Aging who is providing these services. We have a list of agencies who you can choose from in terms of who you want to receive your services.
Mm-hmm. How is the Area Agency on Aging funded? Some of it comes from lottery proceeds.
It does. We're a state-funded agency. We receive funds from lottery proceeds. So when you see at the end of the lottery, it says benefits older Pennsylvanians, this is where your money is going to. Specifically in our senior centers, the in-home meal program, and transportation through BART. That's where a majority of the money comes from. We get money federally from the Older Americans Act, as well as county service fees and donations.
Mm-hmm. Most of it is state money, though, right?
Correct.
As opposed to federal?
Yes.
Let's talk about the senior centers, because they come under your agency's purview, right?
Mm-hmm.
I used to know how many there were.
I believe there's 9 right now.
They've cut back a few, right?
We have,
Some of the ones that weren't being utilized very much have been terminated?
Yeah, I believe there's 9 right now. We've had low attendance at a few senior centers, so we had to cut back their hours, and then we cut them back completely. But we offer, in the 9 senior centers in the county, we offer meal programs in all of them, so you can come in for a hot meal. It's a donation. I believe it's a $2.60 donation is what they request.
Just generally for lunch, I'm guessing, right?
Yep. Usually lunch only. There's always hot coffee, and some of the centers have donuts and things like that for breakfast. But lunch is the main meal. There's also activities at the center, so they have bingo at some of them, card games. And at most of the centers, we have an exercise program called SAIL, which is Stay Active and Independent for Life. It's a free exercise program in the morning at the Butler, Slippery Rock, and Cranberry Senior Centers, as well as the Westminster Church. And these classes are taught by YMCA instructors.
Mm-hmm. Here in Butler, the senior center is at Tanglewood, right?
Yep.
At other locations throughout the county, you lease space in churches, schools, public buildings?
They're mostly in public buildings. Cranberry is in the municipal building. Slippery Rock is in the municipal building. Shakora is in the Moose Lodge, the basement of the Moose. Mars is in a public high-rise called Penmar Plaza. Evan City is in a church on Main Street, and Southeast, which is in Cabot, is at their volunteer fire company.
Now, depending on which senior center we're talking about, some are open more days per week than others, right?
Correct, yeah. There is a schedule for each of the centers. I don't know offhand. I know Butler and Cranberry are our two centers that are open 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. The others are open 2 or 3 days a week, but you can visit our website, which is www.co.butler.pa.us. Click the Human Services tab under Area Agency on Aging, and we have a complete list of the center hours, days, and phone numbers there.
So that's just the main county website, right?
And correct.
Then you click on your tab.
Mm-hmm.
So the number of hours or days of the week that these centers are open was calculated on how many people were utilizing them?
It was, yeah. And our two largest centers are Butler and Cranberry, and that's why they're open 5 days a week.
There was a plan a few years ago, I'm not sure whether you were there or
I
not,
was.
That they were going to close them all and have one central senior center. That went by the boards, I guess.
It did. We received a lot of growling at that, so that went by the wayside. So we're still open, our individual centers. The hours and times have changed since I've started.
Decisions such as this are made by who?
The Area Agency on Aging, our director, Beth Harold, is the one who would, you know, bring the decision forward, but the county commissioners are the ones who have to sign off on any major changes.
Do you need to get state approval, or is there state overlook every so often to see what's going on in the individual area agencies on aging around the Commonwealth?
We do get audited by the state every so often, but other than that, it's usually the county commissioners have to sign off on anything that we do.
I suppose you have to submit a plan every so often. This is what we think we're going to do for the next couple of years or something like
that. Yep, it's a 4-year plan. The next time we'll have to submit that will be 2020.
And how is that prepared? Do you take input from seniors who are visiting the senior centers, for example?
We do. The last go-around, which would have been 2016, we had informal discussions at each of the senior centers. We opened it up for public commentary, and then we base our plan off of that.
Has there been any severe change in the amount of state funding that comes in for the Area Agency on Aging, or has that been fairly stable?
It's been pretty stable. The only issue we've had in the past is if the state doesn't sign off on a budget exactly when they intend to.
Oh, yes, that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That impacted you, right?
Yep, yeah. It did. A lot of our services had to be waitlisted because we didn't receive the funds to help those individuals.
Were you able to keep the senior centers open back then?
I believe we were.
I think they all stayed open.
Yeah. Just a lot of our in-home services had wait lists or program halts because of that.
We have a lot, and I'm looking ballpark figure here because I don't need exact numbers. Are these services pretty well utilized? Are there a lot of seniors or disabled in Butler County who take advantage of them?
They are. Like I said, all of our programs have wait lists, so we are at max capacity for most of them. We do try and get people off of the wait list pretty quickly, but it all just depends on funding.
Mm-hmm. We'll chat more with Brittany in just a moment or so. You're listening to the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. One of our sponsors on the program today is Goin Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They are friendly, I can tell you that, because I've been a customer, and they're very, very efficient. What they do is package your items for shipping, which takes care of something that can be a real nuisance, you know, if you need to ship something somewhere, you need to find a box, you need a Ethel, where's that special tape we use in mailing labels and all that? Then you got to take it either to the post office or however you want to ship it. Goin Postal Butler takes care of all of that for you. You simply take your item to them, and we'll tell you where they're located in a moment here, and they'll take care of all the rest. They'll package it up. They print the mailing labels. You can ship it either FedEx or UPS or U.S. Postal Service, whatever you desire. Goin Postal Butler is located at 140 Shockey Lane. It's just off Newcastle Road, the top of Newcastle Hill. It's right behind King's and Villa Grande Restaurant. You just go back into the Shockey Mini Storage Complex there and follow the signs. It's kind of back at the rear. And you walk in and they take care of what you need to ship. They also have copying service, scanning service, faxing. You can rent a mailbox there. And there's even a notary, so sometimes you have to get something notarized before you send it off. They can take care of all of that for you. It's convenient, it's inexpensive, and they're really, really fast, too. Here's a phone number if you'd like more information, 724-841-0044, 724-841-0044. Goin Postal Butler. Your friendly neighborhood shipping center, just off Newcastle Road behind Villa Grande and King's Restaurant. We'll check the midday lottery numbers for you, and then we'll be back to talk more with Brittany here on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. I'll be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick two is 8787. The pick three is 907907. The pick 4, 7368. The pick 5, 46940. Wild ball for each of those is 9. Then the treasure hunt, 3, 4, 8, 18, and 23. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $30,000.
Oh, yeah, we have...
Welcome back, folks. We're getting an update on the services that are provided to the Area Agency on Aging here in Butler. There is a state agency on aging. Do all of the individual counties, to the best of your knowledge, Brittany, have their own agency, or are some of them grouped together?
There's 52 agencies statewide, so a few are grouped together because there are 67 counties in Pennsylvania.
That's a good trivia question. How many counties in Pennsylvania? But Butler's is just Butler, right?
Yep, we
just
are Butler. Our own.
There was a time, and I'm getting an update, too, from you. There was a time when there were, and I'm not quite sure how to phrase the question, there was like a legal ombudsman or something like that through Area Agency on Aging, I guess, that could help seniors with maybe some legal questions or something. Am I right? Do they still have that?
So we have two different programs. We have legal referral, and then there is an ombudsman program, but that's completely separate.
Oh, okay. I was mixing them up.
Yep,
I was conflating them. Well, let's talk about them one by one. What about the ombudsman program?
So the ombudsman program is an advocacy program for individuals receiving care in a facility in Butler County. We have about 44 different facilities in Butler County, nursing and personal care. And we have an ombudsman who goes to each and every one of them monthly to check in on the residents to see if there's any issues regarding their care or their overall quality of life. And then if there is, we're able to dig deeper into it, not investigate, more of mediate the situation to make sure that everything is going well for that consumer.
Mm-hmm. So the ombudsman person would kind of help your cause if they thought there was a just cause.
Exactly. They're an advocate.
I didn't realize, number one, that they went all around every month. That's pretty good.
Yep, yeah. We're one of the only counties in Pennsylvania that hits the facilities monthly.
It's a big job with almost 45 facilities to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the ombudsman. What's the other program now?
The legal referral. So our legal referral program is a contracted program with Shapiro and Pater in Butler, and they'll do simple legal documentations for you, like wills, power of attorneys. The Area Agency on Aging will pay for the first consult, provided that your income is below $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. So you can check on that as to whether you're qualified or whatever, and these are important legal things that everyone should take care of.
Yes.
Sometimes folks, if they get to that age and they haven't done it, a little confusing maybe, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all you have to do is contact the Area Agency on Aging directly at 724-282-3008 and ask for a legal referral, and we will work up the referral, send it to Shapiro and Pater, and they will then contact you to set up the appointment. And they're able to come to your home or to a mutual setting if you live outside of the city of Butler.
Oh, wow. Your phone lines must be pretty busy, I would expect, with questions and so on, huh?
They are. They're always going off. We have two staff secretaries on call every day, and they're answering the phones. So they're always ringing.
Well, it's important that you can do that because many of the people that have questions are not able to travel on their own. They need somebody to give them a ride or something like that, and it's very inconvenient. So to be able to at least get some of their questions answered by phone would be great.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you want information on any of the services, particularly many of these services that help older individuals stay in their homes, you can get the ball rolling by simply calling.
Yep, that's all you need. You can call, and the first step is to set up an assessment. So an assessor from the Agency on Aging will come to your house to determine your functional needs, and they'll go from there to see if you qualify for in-home services.
Do they check or begin to compile a file on income requirements and that sort of thing, too?
They do, following the initial skills assessment based on your activities of daily living. So you have to have some type of functional need for us to go ahead and look through the financial aspect of it.
Well, that's why the first step is the assessment. Somebody has to go there. You can look at the person, see what their particular problems are, whether it's mobility issues or just aging issues, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And what they might need, what they're capable of, what they're not capable of, and so on and so forth.
Yep.
Yeah. And that takes a home visit, really.
Yep.
Yeah. Get it all. Is there a charge for that, by the way?
There's not. The home visits are free. All the services are free, provided that you qualify for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks to the state lottery in great part for helping to fund that. I think that's the chief source of funding, isn't it, for the Area Agency on
Aging? For some of our programs, yes.
Do you get any appropriations locally from the county commissioners?
We receive some county appropriation. A lot of it is just state budget funds.
Mm-hmm. Which is why you're so dependent on getting the state budget done on time.
Yep.
The governor is supposed to release a government reform proposal today under which whoever is the governor at the time, state lawmakers and their top aides, would not get paid if the budget is not finalized by the deadline, the fiscal deadline, which every year is June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And it seldom is, as you well know.
That's a pretty good incentive, so hopefully they pass it on time.
Well, it's a proposal
time.
By the governor. Whether that, you know, whether the state legislature approves of that, I don't know. I have my doubts. But Governor Wolf's scheduled to unveil that today. Well, if you have any questions about the Area Agency on Aging at all, feel free to call them. As Brittany said, they have people there that are more than willing to answer the phone and talk to you about any of the things that we've discussed today. And please don't forget, coming up Tuesday of next week, Tuesday, right?
Yep.
That's the Community Resource Fair and Preparedness Workshop. A quick summary of that, Brittany, for folks who have joined us midway through our conversation here today. What's that all about?
So next Tuesday, March 20th at the Butler YMCA from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we are hosting an emergency preparedness fair for individuals and seniors, individuals with disabilities and seniors. The program is going to feature a vendor fair from different organizations that offer services to seniors and individuals with disabilities.
So they'll all be there with tables and information
and a bunch of free giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in attending that, all you have to do is show up. The vendor fair will be from 10 to 2. If you're interested in attending an individual workshop for seniors or individuals with disabilities on emergency preparedness, there will be 3 workshops, 2 hosted by the American Red Cross and 1 hosted by myself at the Area Agency on Aging. To sign up for those or for more information about times, you can contact the Area Agency on Aging at 724-282-3008.
And this preparedness awareness workshop and resource fair aimed at, in particular?
Seniors and individuals with disabilities and their caregivers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing. General public, too. You're welcome to stop here.
Yeah.
At the Y. It's next Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it's all free.
It is all free.
Yeah. Thanks, Brittany.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, nice to talk to you. We're kind of like, Brittany and I are kind of like ships passing in the night. Because when she's coming in to tape her Sunday program, I'm usually going out.